Okay, this is Ray Fetterman reading from his novel Take It or Leave It, an exaggerated second-hand tale to be read aloud, either standing or sitting, or lying down if you prefer. This is the situation. Imagine a man, let's call him a storyteller, standing on a box somewhere, in the middle of the street, anywhere in America probably, and in front of him a group of people, as he tells his stories, more and more people come, children, old men, and so on, even animals come and listen. And he's not telling his own story, he's telling the story told to him by some guy called Frenchy. But while telling the story, he digresses, and meanwhile the public or the listeners are there called keep asking questions and constantly interrupt, interfere with the story. And so he's getting a little mad, and so suddenly he yells to them, "All good storytellers go to the Bethicat on their way to heaven, and that is why perhaps they are so long in reaching their destination." Someone said in the back, but I ignored him completely. Why waste time and paper to answer such unfounded statements, I told myself. Okay, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to make you weep with all the sad stories Frenchy told me. And yet, if I wanted to tell you all the crap he told me, the train, the camps, if I wanted to describe in details and realistically all the misery and suffering he endured, the lampshades, the farms, the noodles, we would never get out of here. Ah, yes, his entire family we made into lampshades, father, mother, sister, ah, yes, uncle, aunts, cousins, too. You wouldn't believe it. Wiped out. They only send things to do in cases such as these, he said, is either to shut up and forget or else learn to laugh. Laugh. Laugh and practice 3 times a day, he said, to laugh at all the shit mailed at myself, at life, death, to laugh at everything in retrospect, bien entendu. This way it helps you, it forces you to go on, to forget a little. That's the only way to keep going. Reinvent yourself in mad giggles, laugh your life out into words, call it the fou rire, laughter rupture. The problem with you guys is that you don't know how to laugh. That's what's missing the most in you. Laughter. Ah, yes, to sneer, that much you can do with your cute little mouth. But laughter, big laughter, no dice, monstrous burst of laughter coming out of the belly, noisy and furious laughter, crazy strangled laughter, mad laughter, convulsive, loud, nervous laughter, mocking laughter. No, not for you guys. Doesn't work. Ha, the laughing act. Doesn't work for you guys because you guys laugh Japanese style, delicately, with your hands in front of your mouth as if you were coughing. What the hell, you guys think that laughter is some kind of sickness? Laugh! Yes, laugh. Because when one guy weeps somewhere in the world, there is always some other guy who laughs somewhere else. Happy balance. Never fails its normal equilibrium. Laugh or cry comes out the same in the end. After all, humanity is like a whale with 2 buckets. When one goes down to be filled, the other comes up to be emptied. Humanity is like a deep hole. Consequently, one must always practice and practice laughter, mad laughter above all, and fear everything else, especially death. Fear death like a renaissance, like a resurrection. Who said that? I don't know. I found that in my notes. Doesn't matter, though. But we should perhaps point out that what we are saying here, of course, does not necessarily come from us. It's a paraphrase, a misquotation. We are merely repeating, more or less approximately, what a certain person of reputation once said somewhere. And no doubt better than we, even if that certain person borrowed it from someone else, as is always the case with analogies. Life is made up of verbal collages, repetitions with slight variations. Obviously, then, we are distorting the original. But basically, this is how humanity was once summed up. And don't you think it's a rather good analogy? And humanity, the one I am quoting or misquoting, whichever case, wow, did he mess it up. And that's not all. Even worse, he messed up the whole language of humanity in his multilingual scribbling. Why did he fuck it up, the language of humanity, the one I am quoting or misquoting above? But he warned us. Oh, he warned us about it. Well, till I fix you with your charabia, he once said, your dead tongue. Quack, 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 quack. oh, you guys are surprised that I know people of such caliber, people who say such splendid things. They really blocks the shit out of you, really flips the crap out of you. Well, it's not really that unusual. It's not because I am a second-hand teller, a mouth, a voice within a voice, that I cannot afford to step out of my intermediary role once in a while. After all, who is in charge here? It's quite true that I sometimes exaggerate a bit too much, and that my recitation as it goes does not permit me to deploy my background, to present myself in full and in my own name, to speak of my own adventures or misadventures as a real person. But nevertheless, nothing prevents me in moments of self-deprecation from characterizing myself through others, through the words of others, through quotations, misquotations, references or differences, collage, montage, or, for that matter, plagiarism of the most obvious source, and whatever else comes to mind, in moments of doubts and despair. And you haven't heard the best yet. I mean, best of the kind of distorted material, sub-material, junk material that I bow left and right to throw into the recitation randomly, to hold together, to enrich, to thicken what would otherwise be just a plain, banal story of a GI who bugs the shit out of us with his illusions. His illusions about a trip from North Carolina to California, en passant par New York, as he said, New York, supposedly. Yes, just another straight, boring story told directly by the one who experienced it some 20 years ago. That alone would not be of great value, commercial or otherwise. That trip alone, that trip that Frenchie wants to take, will be meaningless were it not told, retold over again, second-hand, with the kind of reflection superimposed upon it by the voice within the voice, which gives it a personal touch, touch of life, one might say. Yes, indeed, that story will be boring, banal, spoken in a straight line, linearly. And indeed, the question could be asked, would it be literature? Or, for that matter, would it have any literary value, commercial or even social? That is the crucial question. Whereas, by sprinkling smart quotations here and there in a recitation, it gains in denseness, in thickness, also what it loses in speed and straightforwardness, and in so doing appears to be literature. In other words, it is by a system of double talk that the story rises from its banality to what can be called a level of surfiction. For were it not for all the digressions and diversion inserted into the story as it goes along, up and down and sideways, the curves of its own circumvolutions, then it will be at best of minor interest. And that is why one must talk, and sometimes double talk, at ease and without much concern for logic or for credibility about life, life and death, death and laughter, laughter as literature, literature as politics, eventually, for then, and only then, am I anticipating too much? Then can one approach the realm of literature. For what are we, barbarians? What are we here for, if not to improve reality so that it may someday become fiction or literature? Now, I know what you guys are thinking. What about form? What about logic? What about consistency of point of view? What about syntax? And of course, what about style? And in fact, I heard you, yes, over there, yes, the little guy with the mustache, when you said to the guy next to you, yes, the tall one with the glasses, me, I don't miss a thing. I heard you mumbling something about form, I think. Wasn't it you who said, what this gentleman is saying might be true and amusing, but who cares, it has no form. I heard it. In fact, I find it rather incoherent, rather stylish, and even, no, my dear little man, don't try to hide in the crowd. And even if he invents, well, even if he tells a good story, it's not really literature. It has no plot, no dramatic development. Fuck you! It's not literature, young punk. Not literature. Ah, you guys want me to tell you what I think literature is all about. Literature. It's four walls. A table, a chair, paper, pencil, or else a typewriter if you compose directly on a typewriter, and tick-tack, 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 and after that, hours and hours, days and nights, weeks and months, even years and years, banging on it on the damn machines, banging your head against the wall, your ass on the chair, alone, yes, alone, watching the flies fly by, picking your nose, smoking cigarettes to your death, sniffling, cutting your nails, drumming the table with your fingers, doing nothing, waiting for something to come into your mind, asking yourself, what the fuck am I doing here? That's where and how literature begins. But that's not all. Oh, no. Don't imagine that's all I have to say about literature. Literature It's patience and determination, violence and don't give a shit. In other words, a simple question of copying, adding, multiplying, cutting, folding, correcting, quoting, transforming, simple question of inventing, stealing, manipulating, reducing, lying, rewriting, distorting, citing, question of starting all over again, vomiting, stopping, falling asleep, waking up, sitting, intention of meditating, masturbating, hesitating, having a fruity taste in your mouth, crap, wanting to commit suicide, saying it's all over again, walking in your sleep, and of course crying once in a while, and laughing too, oh yes, laughing as much as possible. Ah, yes, laughing, especially laughing aloud, softly, silently, between your teeth, while pissing in your pants, laughing while slapping yourself on the belly with tears in your eyes, laughing to death while rolling on the floor to the point of choking, laughing with sobs, tittering until it turns into screams, giggling, and it's not all. Oh, no, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning of literature. For literature, it's also words. Yes, words inside of you, around you, above you, beside you, deep in you, words at the corner of you, underneath, far away from you, inside, everywhere, words, 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 you look for them, words, you touch them, words, you line them up, words, you mix them all up, words, you retouch them, words, you manipulate them, words, you bang on them, words, you search for them, yours, you find them, yours, you lose them, yours, you transfer them, yours, you throw them away, and all that, your ass on the chair. And what you write, if it's good, if it's bad, who gives it damn? Doesn't matter. Who cares even if you spend 40 years, yes, and even 50 stupid years or even more of your life between the four walls, sitting on that crummy chair? Doesn't matter, because life, yes, well, we hardly in it, that immediately we gotta get out. Hop! But life, I mean, while you're in it, there is no way you cannot play life. No, no, no way you can play the game of life, yes, because it's a game, a big game, and you can never say, never say, I don't want to play anymore. I want to play anymore. Stop everything. I'm getting off. I'm getting out. Say, fuck it all. I give up. No, no question of saying, can't take it anymore. I'm fed up. Finished. Thumbs up. I'm quitting because life hurts too much. And so even if it's 40 or even 50 years of your life you spend there, in the room, cornered on a chair, between four walls, eyes staring at the walls, asking yourself, what am I doing here? What the fuck am I doing here? And all the while pretending that it's the best way to pass the time, just a way to keep going, funnily and approximately, pretending you're doing literature. Because literature, you said to yourself, after all, just a matter of patience and determination and don't give a shit, and of course, work. Work and more work, tick-tack, 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 for nothing, nothing, for the birds, with sweat dripping down your arms and your hands hurting and your head spinning and your ass hard like a rod just from sitting on a damn chair. Wow, it's tough. But let's be serious. Let's go on with literature for a while. Quelle connerie, quelle salade. A son of a bitch who didn't understand a damn thing, it's obvious, one of those guys out there. To what I'm saying, you can see that from the way he shouts, from his disturbed gestures, and suddenly he jumps towards me up on my platform, grabs me by the throat with both hands to make me stop, I suppose. But me, I give him the knee in the balls, whack, and he retreats in a crowd, howling like a mule, holding on to his crotch. But then everybody rushes towards me to grab me there on my platform, but I scream, raise my arms and extended palm forward, stop! Stop that shit, you guys, don't touch me! Okay, let's be serious. We're not going to have a riot just because of literature. And so everybody calms down, and they all go back to their place in front of my platform in semi-circle. Phew, that was close. Okay, I'll go on with the story. The story of Frenchie on Highway 101 near Washington. Yes, that's where he is now. And still raining, but he was calm now, happy. And Bob, oh, you want to know about Bob on his way to Florida? I mustn't forgotten about him. Therefore, I continue. No, I continue with literature. The guy who I'm kicked in the testicle did not stay for the rest of the story. Doesn't matter, because others came to replace him. Yes, many others now. And there are even kids now among the adults listening with their mouth opened. Therefore, careful, careful, watch out. Choose your words carefully. Don't get carried away. No obscenities, even though these kids these days, you know, one suspects, especially little girls with pink ribbons in their hair, I tell you, they're the most perverse. And in fact, I see two of them sitting in the front row, right there, arm crossed like two little princesses. Their less panties publicly exposed next to their mommies. What the fuck they're doing here at this time of their Sunday dress, in their Sunday dress, one can wonder, rather than being in school, learning to write and read, or at home, learning to cook, to knit, sew, or just clean the house. But no use looking for trouble. I have enough already, that's damn sure, especially with kids. As long as they remain nice and quiet while I tell the story, and they don't start whining when I come to the sad passages. What the hell can be too difficult? I don't mind those kids. It's not the time to be choosy. Better kids than nothing. And the mummies, they're sexy and don't bug the shit out of you like the intellectuals with all their questions and all their interruptions, that's for sure. What a bunch of casse-pieds. Whereas in the case of the mothers, no need to take gloves. Anything goes. You can really let yourself go with those gorgeous bourgeois. They love juicy stories, makes them tickle from the tip of the teeth to the slit of the cunt. Therefore, no need to be timid. Allons-y, let's take advantage of their tender presence. Well, ladies and gentlemen and dear children, shit can get out of it. Well, maybe I can tell you what literature is all about. No, I cannot. But perhaps I can tell you in 5 or 6 sentences what literature is not. Oh, yes, do tell us if you can. Oh, do tell us in English, in French, or even in Portuguese. Charming feminine voice from deep in the crowd. Literature, ladies and gentlemen and dear children, is not a banana peel on which you slip deliberately to break your legs. Oh, ce n'est pas une peau de banane sur laquelle on glisse et se casse la jambe. Nae en una casca de banana, em que gente excoquera para quebra a perna. It is not a set of drums on which you bang like mad to drive people crazy. Ce n'est pas un tambour de ville sur lequel on tape dur pour faire du bruit. Nae en un tambour de erupto, no quale gente baste para fazer escandalo. It's not a big red balloon that rises in the clouds on days of festivities. Ce n'est pas un gros ballon rouge qui vole vers les nuages un jour de fête. Nae en un grande balloon vermilio que sobre paraecio num dia de festas. It is not a glass of wine you drink in the morning to fortify your brain. Ce n'est pas un verre de vin qu'on boit le matin pour se fortifier l'esprit. Nae en un gole de pinga que se gente torna de mania para fisca me animado. It is a little white mouse. No, it is not a little white mouse that eats pieces of cheese, its eyes closed. Ce n'est pas une petite souris blanche qui mange du fromage, les yeux fermés. Mais il y a un ratino branco que se delicia comme des cuerlios de hoyos fechados. It is not a damn earthquake that demolishes the damn world for no reason. Ce n'est pas un tremblement de terre qui démolit tout avec ses tremblements. Now un tremor de terra qui rebanta tudo comme osseos abalos. In other words, literature cannot be explained. It is not self-explanatory. It does not speak for itself in 2 or 3 languages, native or foreign. It is done, if you wish, your ass on a chair in front of the table. If you don't have a chair nor a table, then standing up against the wall all alone in a stinking room. But of course, I see you coming. I hear you muttering, but I'm waiting for you around the corner. Literature, it's above all words, sentences, paragraphs, punctuation, good grammar, in other words, style, decent language. But of course, you dumbass, words out of sight and over the damn horizon. Evidently, you shitty little constipator, words. And even that it's a fight, you have to struggle with them, fight with them, sleep with them before they make you or break you. But words, I've got lots of them. English words, French words, Franglish words, because me, you see, sometimes I mix them all up. Because me, you see, I'm not a purist. No, I would rather say that I am the double type, the schizo type, the type of guy who writes two languages, who humps two languages at the same time. And that is why I can say to you, merde shit in 2 languages in 1 smooth vocal breath, directly and simultaneously. Perhaps they are not pretty, my words, but they are my words. And me, I employ them, I arrange them as best I can, my words. Because me, you see, my words. Now, what interests me, as of today, in fact, it's language abandoned to chaos and disorder. Liberated language, delirious writing, writing laughing up and down the pages, words that move and crack and giggle. What counts for me now is floating language, ludicrous style, digressive words, out of sight, par-dessus l'horizon. In other words, the kind of language that is not fit for printing, not publishable in your glossy magazines. The kind of language that screams, the kind of language that says shit gently to literature without blushing. The kind of language that speaks its mind openly and self-consciously, whereas you will drag yourself 50 yards bare-ass in a crud just to publish 3 lines of your prose in one of those decent, glossy, respectable magazines. Yes, I know, sir. I heard you. I know. What about writing? You really mean, of course, écriture. We've already discussed that. Yes, we've already discussed écriture. Remember that? The pharmacist earlier? and its consequences, all the language stuff, phrases, paragraphs, syntax, style, semantics, semiology, taximony, semanalysis, saloperie, bavardry, connery, supercherie, pipi, riri, bimi, cacophony, all the kinds of other, ik, ik, like that, all kinds of other, pipi, like that, non, that one finds in écriture, and what is commonly called charabia. And when it comes to charabia, you guys can really dish it out. Wow, terrific.